Let me ask if you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Again, we're continuing to look at the history that we have of the early church. And as we examine this, we can learn some very valuable lessons about how we as Christians are supposed to live today. And the emphasis, of course, as we look at this, is so many people sincerely believe that they are following God, but they're not. They're sincerely wrong. But God has made a way for each of us, if we seek it, to find the truth. He tells us, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open unto you. So if you want to know the truth, it's there for you. But you're going to have to put some effort into it. Now we're looking at Acts chapter 4, and what's happened, a miracle has taken place. People are excited to see what has happened. But the religious leaders there are very upset about what's taking place. Because Peter is preaching about Jesus, whom they had crucified recently. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confirmed among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They could not deny what had taken place, and people are aware of this. Verse 17, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. From now on, they speak no man in this name. So to try to prevent it, they're going to command them not to speak in his name. They don't want to do anything to him right there because they're afraid of the people's reaction to it. Verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now imagine that for a moment here. If you were pulled up into the office by your boss and say, we don't want you talking about Jesus around here. Has that ever happened? Yes, it has. So again, we need to make a decision what we're going to do. And believe me, if your boss pulls you in the office there and tells you these kind of things, he's watching how you're going to react. His reaction, or what he wants you to do, and what you do, might not be in agreement. Verse 19. And here's an example for each of us. Because when we come in contact with people, we speak about Jesus, and we're told to shut up, we need to be ready to respond. And it needs to be planned in our minds. What am I going to do in this situation? Now look what Peter and John answered. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have heard. Now notice his response. We're going to obey God rather than men. We must speak these things about Jesus. Jesus gave them a command, go into all the world, make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He gave them their what? Their marching orders. This is what you're to do. And Peter and John say, who are we going to obey? Are we going to obey God, or are we going to obey men? Let you be a judge of that. And we need to consider here, because when conflict does come, and it will come in our lives, we need to make sure that we're ready to stand up for what we believe in. And that's a whole other question. We'll look at that too, because not just standing up for what you believe in, but making sure that what you believe in is right. That's extremely important. So again, we find this example. Peter and John, they have to make a decision. And they make their decision. We're going to follow God rather than men. Now, why does God let things get hard sometimes? As we study the book of Jeremiah, we see that things got very difficult for the people of Israel. And prophet Jeremiah, his heart is hard as he has to work through these struggles and communicating to the people God's will, letting them know what's going to take place when they're disobedient to them. So God is going to allow things to get hard sometimes. And when he does that, as was mentioned this morning, sometimes we don't understand the purpose. And sometimes the purpose might be simply this, as we find here for Peter and John. And sometimes we just need to take a stand. We need to take a stand. And we take a stand, it's going to tell us a lot about ourselves. But I want us to look again about the boldness that Peter and John had. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Because I can tell you from experience, being bold is not going to be easy at times, is it? You might make that decision. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be strong. But it's not going to be easy at times. And here we have a threat. They knew what they had done to Jesus just recently. What had they done to Jesus? They crucified him on that cross. They did it for specific reasons. Political. Money. All kinds of reasons. But they did not want Jesus Christ to be preached in that area. And they did not want people to follow Jesus. Now, Peter and John, I want you to notice what they did after they were told basically to shut up or you're going to face some consequences. They were threatened. Look at verse 23 in Acts chapter 4. And what we're going to see here, and this is something that each of us needs to do when we're confronted, is they prayed to God. So their response after they were threatened is they prayed to be bold. Now, we know these kinds of prayers. You ever pray with a child? You teach them to pray, now I lay me down to sleep. That wasn't this kind of prayer. Oh, he's raising his hand a little bit. Good, he knows that prayer. But this is a different kind of prayer. A strong need is now being felt. Their very lives are being threatened. They have been told by the religious leaders of that day to be quiet. Don't speak in this man's name. And they have to make a choice. Are we going to obey God or are we going to obey men? In Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 23, it says, in being let go, they went down to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly again, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on our threats and grant to your servants with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now that prayer is a prayer here in response to a threat. They were threatened. Be quiet, or you're going to face some punishment. And what do they do immediately? They gather together with their companions, and they lift up their voice in prayer to God. Now, this is a rather lengthy prayer, but I want us to examine it into some detail, because this is an excellent example of what we need to do when we are faced with this kind of choice. Now, first of all, look at verse 24. And there we see they recognized and they affirmed the absolute sovereignty of God. Let me say that one more time. They recognized and they affirmed the absolute sovereignty of God. Now let's pause there for just a moment. Is God sovereign in your life? Have you submitted your will to His? That is exactly what God wants us to do. And it says there, look at verse 24. They said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And what they're saying, our God is powerful. Mm-hmm. Our God rules. And there's nothing in this world that compares to God. No religious leader, no member of the Sanhedrin, no Pharisee, no Sadducee, no scribe, none of them compared to the sovereignty of God. None of them made heaven and earth. And only God has a purpose that He's going to make sure is done. A good example of this in this illustration, a sailor was shipwrecked and he was thrown upon a rock. And he clung to that rock for his life as the tide went in and out. And later a friend asked him, he said, didn't you shake with fear when you were hanging on that rock? I want you to picture, you're shaking. You're trying to survive. He says, yes, of course I shook, but the rock did not shake. The rock was there. The rock was solid. And that's exactly the same way. When we are shaking, when we're being threatened, who do we cling on to? Who's our rock? Our God is our rock. He's not going to move. He's there. Cling to God for boldness and for safety. Now, I'd like us to note in verse 24, again, it says, Lord, you are God. Now, that word Lord is used a lot in the Bible. There's different Greek words that are used. Typically, the Greek word Lord means master. But this particular word, as I was doing a little research, is the word despota. They used a different word. And that word is where the English word we get is despot or despot. Now, when we talk about a despot, we talk and think in negative terms. Somebody's evil. But that's not in this sense here. What it's saying is when they use that term, it means absolute ruler. God is the absolute ruler. There is no one else as powerful as God. So again, they understood that when they were being threatened with God at their side, things were going to work out the way God wanted them to do. Now look at verse 25 and 26 there in Acts chapter 24. Because here they quote the Old Testament. And it speaks of their ancestor David. Now David, if you remember, had also been persecuted. And David, we have recorded some of the things that he prayed and spoke at that time. And here we see this particular prayer, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Jesus Christ. So again, pointing out these things that took place. But then they're going to reassure themselves. Look at verse 27. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined to do. What happened to Jesus was God's plan. It had a very specific purpose. So even this awful thing of Jesus being crucified on that cross, it had a purpose being met by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then look at verses 29 and verse 30, because here we see they expected the miracles to continue. Now look, Lord, look on the threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They're asking for God's blessings in doing this, their strength. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that by signs and wonders may be done through your name of your holy servant Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spake with all boldness. So here again we see that when they were threatened and they were threatened with their lives about being beaten, something taking place, they still continued to be faithful to God in every way. Now, some of you here might remember a movie a couple years ago. I remember seeing it, and it kind of ties into what's taking place here. Because Peter and John had conviction. They were going to obey God. They had been with his son. They had seen the miracles that he performed. They had seen him when he was crucified and later when he was resurrected from the grave. They had conviction in who Jesus was. And because of their conviction, they were ready to obey God rather than who? Rather than man. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a conviction? Have you ever had a conviction? I hope the answer is yes. There's a man whose name is Eric Liddell, and he was the son of a Scottish missionary in China. And he was a gifted athlete, and he became the best sprinter in the British Empire. And he won the 100 and 200 meter races in 1923. He was selected then to participate in the Olympic Games in 1924 for the 100 meter race. But a few weeks before the Olympics, he found out that the event that he was going to be in was going to be on a Sunday. And he had a conviction that he could not do that on a Sunday. And because of that, he had to make a choice, didn't he? He had to make a choice. A few weeks before the games, he excused himself from his friends after dinner, and he went away. And this happened for a few weeks. And then they found out why. Because what he did every day is he went out and he trained for a different event. He won in the 100 and 200 meter, but what did he go out and train for? The 400 meter, a little bit longer distance. And that year, he won the gold medal in the 400 meter event. Now that's an example. Later on, if you know about Little, he became a missionary in China. And he died as a prisoner of war in a Japanese concentration camp in World War II. Now, this is interesting because this man had a conviction and he was willing to work hard for it. I don't know about you, if you've ever trained for a race, it's not easy to do. You've got to put a lot of time and a lot of effort into it. But I want to ask you this question about convictions, about your beliefs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus is the creator of the universe. He has all power. Your convictions, are you willing to stand up for your convictions? Or are they negotiable? What do I mean by that? You know, as Christians, we need to make decisions in advance about what we're going to do under certain conditions. We need to decide beforehand. And all of our decisions need to be based on what? On the Word of God, on the Bible. We need to decide beforehand, and we need to make sure that we hold on to those decisions, not give up when things get challenging. Now, it's discouraging when we see people whom we love, whom we respect, but yet when the times get hard, what might they do? They might give in. They might yield. They might make decisions that do not agree with God's word. So again, we as Christians need to make sure that we are prepared to make those decisions to obey God rather than men. And that's exactly what we need to do. Now, we're going to continue looking at this. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4 now. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. Because in verse 20 we read, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And when they had threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punishing them because of people, since they glorified God for what they had done. Again, the response of the apostles here is, we cannot stop speaking what we have heard. And then we looked at the prayer that they took place. They prayed for boldness. Now let's go to Acts chapter 5 now, in verse 17. We're skipping some things here. We'll come back to them later. But it's continuing this thought of Peter and John. We ought to speak the way God wants us to speak, rather than listen to men. Now here, it says, the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. Did Peter and John stop preaching about Jesus? No, they did not. They kept on doing it. Miracles were done. People were beginning to follow Jesus there in Jerusalem. And they were indignant about this. They laid their hands on them and put them in prison. Isn't that what they were told they were going to do? If you continue doing this, we're going to have to take care of you. Now look at verse 19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together and all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to prison to have them brought. So what happens to them while they're in prison? An angel comes, doesn't it? Releases them and tells them, go stand in the temple, speak to the people all the words of this life. Just imagine this for a moment. It's hard for me to remember. The miraculous thing taking place. If you know about the rules of guards and prisoners at that time, if a prisoner escaped from a guard, what would typically happen is they would be put to death. So it was a very serious business for them at that particular time to guard over them. But here we have a miracle. They are released from prison and told to go back to the temple. And we continue thinking here, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and those who were with him, and they were filled with indignation, they put him in prison. And I want you to think for just a moment about our society today. When we think about what God teaches in his word, about how we're to live our lives, about what is right and about what is wrong, are people today in our society following the teachings that we find in God's word? No, they're not. And here's what takes place, and we can see this all the time. It happens so much, it's awful. But if a group of people is threatened, if you continue teaching this, then you're going to lose something. You might lose your life. You might lose your building. We might put you in prison. Does that take place? Yes. And what takes place so many times when people are threatened, rather than having convictions, what might they do? They might back down. They might appease somebody else. And why are they doing that? Because they fear something. They fear they might lose their livelihood. They fear they might lose their means of living. They fear they might even be in prison, or they might lose their life. So rather than doing that, when they hit opposition, they might start to change their message that they preach. Is that a true statement? Yes. They will dilute it. They will change it. They'll refrain from speaking about certain topics because it's not acceptable to everyone. And they're going to face people who want to persecute them. Now, that's not what God wants today. God wants it, whenever we face this, not to back down. I've told this to people who are here today. The best way to get me to preach something is what? To tell me not to preach on that topic. To ask me not to do it. It's only happened a few times the time I've been here. But when somebody asks me not to preach on something, what does that tell me? It tells me we need to preach on it. It needs to be clarified. We need to look at God's word to know what it says.
Amen.
And not back down from what the truth is. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 5 and verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and went to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we have found the prison shut securely and the guards standing out before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Now let me ask you a question. If you were a member of the Sanhedrin, you'd have put them in prison, and then you're ready to pull them out and do what you're going to do with them, and they're not in the prison. And the guards tell you that their doors haven't been opened. The guards are right there. We don't know where they're at. And then where are they at? They're in the place they were told not to be, and they're preaching about Jesus. Now think about that for just a moment. Did that show their boldness? Did that show their conviction? Were they willing to do what God had commanded them to do, no matter what might happen to them? Yes, they were. And that's the kind of conviction that our Lord wants for us today. In verse 26, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.'" He's reading them the riot act. "We told you to stop it. We told you what's going to happen to you." Now, we need to look again at the response of Peter and the other apostles. Look at verse 29. "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" We ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 41, go down to Acts chapter 5, verse 41. "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Is that boldness? Is that conviction? And we're going to stop here because of time, but we'll continue to look at this idea about courage. Because there, as we see here, when they departed from the council, daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Directly opposite of what they told them to do. These were men of courage. And next time, Lord willing, we're going to talk about this kind of courage that we need to have today. This kind of conviction that we need to have as a congregation and as individuals for the Lord's work. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to do that. When they preached Jesus, part of that message was this: to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be willing to confess him before men. And then if you want to be completely obedient to him, you need to make sure that you are confessing your sins, repenting of them, and being baptized for the remission of sins. That is what we find in God's word. every time about how one becomes a Christian. Now, after one is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, is that all we need to do? No. Then we need to make sure that we are faithful until when? Faithful unto death. And that's exactly what we see in this example of James and Peter and John and the rest of the apostles. They are being faithful unto what? Unto death. And that's what we're called to do. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, if you need the prayers of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.